No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena Justine, how are you?
Morena Rachel, I'm good, how are you?
I am very well, I hope you had a nice weekend.
I did, yes, very restful.
That's good. Hey, we've had a few texts in around the theme of redundancy, so we're going to dive straight in with those. This person has said, I was asked to take leave during lockdown to help the business and avoid the need for redundancies. I agreed to do so in good faith, 9 days. Now they've made me redundant and I'll be leaving with less pay. Is there some sort of personal grievance I can file? What they've done has disadvantaged me twice. It's bullshit. And if there's any advice they can provide, they being you, if there's any advice you can provide, that would be much appreciated. So what are your thoughts on that, Justine?
So that is, fucking bullshit. I absolutely agree with this person. Can I say fucking? I don't know. Sorry. I just said it twice now. It's too early in the morning. What I would say is that I agree that they have been disadvantaged twice. So it's really unfair that, you know, you've been asked to take leave. And that was communicated along the lines of avoiding redundancies and now being made redundant. Mm-hmm. So, this person's quite, to this person, I would say you're right. You're kind of hitting the nail on the head when you said you agreed to do so in good faith.
Right.
That is kind of the crux of the issue, that you were acting in good faith, and now you feel that the employer actually wasn't acting in good faith, because did they do everything that they could to avoid redundancy? You know, was that request to take leave a genuine request to try and avoid redundancies, or were they just trying to save money and then the redundancy was later another cost-saving exercise? So I would say you potentially have a personal grievance. I would talk to the Community Law Centre. I would have a read of Section 4 of the Employment Relations Act. So that's the section. I know that's a bit of a funny advice, go read the law, but literally it's simple enough, and
right,
it goes through good faith actually is.
Cool.
And so it's just familiarize yourself with that, but do go to the Community Law Centre, and I hope you have all the documents. If you don't, get that ASAP, if you can't, still can, and you have 90 days to file a personal grievance. So I'm not sure that you do have one, but potentially there is one. So
cool.
You just need to get your documents in order and go to the Community Law Centre, I think.
Fantastic. Well, we've had another redundancy question. Someone said, I've been made redundant alongside 5 others at work, and now the company is rehiring for 2 new roles that look very similar to the job I just left. Can they do that without contacting me or any of the others who've been made redundant?
So, to be honest, this also sounds like another personal grievance. You go through a restructure redundancy and you make people redundant. The redundancy has to be a genuine redundancy. So there's a bunch of reasons why a redundancy can be genuine, but you know, there has to be a genuine reason that you're getting rid of, you know, the jobs, that you don't need the jobs anymore. If you immediately go to a new position, that's the same job but with, say, less pay or less positions in general, and you haven't contacted the employees you've made redundant and even offered to redeploy them, that doesn't sound like a genuine redundancy. So again, I think this person needs to go down to the community centre as well.
I'm sure the community law centre is going to be quite busy at the moment, I'd imagine.
Community law centre listening to this. Or if you are a member of the union, definitely contact them. But that sounds really sus. I don't think that's a genuine redundancy. And they should have offered the role. They should have invited you to, you know, the people who were similar. If you were in a very similar job, they should offer to redeploy you into that role. Yeah, and giving you that option.
So head down to your community law centre for a bit more advice there. The third question we've got for you, Justine, is someone has texted in, my boss has said that unless it's an emergency or for health or compassionate reasons, he doesn't want anyone to take leave for the next month because, and this is the quote, we have a lot of work to catch up on now lockdown's over. Can he do that? I really want to go and visit my mum, who I haven't seen since lockdown, and that feels pretty unfair.
So leave should be decided, by agreement between both parties. That's generally how it should work. So I don't like this kind of blanket, like, no one takes leave. I don't think that's good practice by your boss. And I totally agree, it's not very fair. That said, this is one of these areas where the law isn't really good enough, because it says that they can decline leave on the basis if there's a genuine business reason. Now, I think like the bar is way too low about what a genuine business reason is. Because like they don't really have, the onus isn't on them to really prove it, they just need to say, oh, it's genuine,
right?
So that kind of sucks. I would actually just in a case like this where a boss is like just generally saying that in a really broad sense, I would apply for leave regardless and actually, you know, go through that process,
right,
where they have to genuinely decline it, because it's not right to just say that, you know,
yeah,
just across the board, because you don't know what people's, yeah, it's just not good practice. So I would challenge that.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
Visit your mum.
Yeah, totally, go visit your mum, go give your mum a hug. Hey, we've had one more question for you, Justine. Someone's just texted in, hi there, just wondering how legal is it to be treated as staff but technically you're a contractor? Very common in the construction industry, according to this text.
So this is a big gap in employment law in New Zealand. There was recently a case that got taken by a union on behalf of a postal worker. So they, you know, technically posties are contractors.
Right.
So they're clearly, you know, not, they're employees, mm-hmm, in the sense of like, you know, and they won that case. So, it's something that needs, it's not like, it's on a case by case. The ruling of the case said it's on a case by case basis. Like, if you can prove that you're an employee and not a contractor,
right?
And that's a really difficult distinction to make. So, I would join a union.
Join a union.
And then I'd go to them with that question. Honestly, I would get your mates to all join the union and do that, because that's a tough one, and it's not legislated. It's all case law. So that means there's nothing in the law to make that clear differentiation, and they've had to take cases to the employment authority.
So it's good to have some people that can help you out with that, like a union. Well, thank you very much, Justine, for answering all of our questions this week. If people at home do have any thoughts or employment concerns, they can text them through to 5395 or give us a call on 309-3879, and we will put all of those questions to you next week, Justine.
Cool.
See you then.
See you. Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.